Well, hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the LBC podcast, where we explore Christian theology and practice for the building up of God's family. We're coming to you today talking about Charlie Kirk and talking about everything that's going on in America today. It's a very unique time that we find ourselves living in as of this last week. And we want to take a look today at what does the Bible have to say about these things and how are we to live in light of the kind of troubling days that we're seeing right now in America. Joining me today, back again, is Pastor Eric.
That's right, back again.
In all your wisdom and glory. And
only as good as it agrees with God's word.
God help us. Here we go.
Amen.
it's going to be a good one. I'm actually excited about this conversation.
Me too.
Yeah. Also joining us, we have Elijah Tran.
Yep.
Howdy. Yeah. I think the last time, was it last time you were sick?
Yes.
Yeah. You're not, but not so much anymore?
Nope. Just fatigued.
Okay. Well, we're all fatigued.
That's right. Everybody's tired.
I think all of our listeners right now are feeling a little fatigued.
Yes.
It has
yes.
been a week here in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody have to be living under a rock to not understand what's going on right now. We saw last Wednesday, a week ago yesterday, the brutal assassination of Charlie Kirk, who
yes.
was a Christian, who was also an activist, who is really pivotal in helping the Republican Party, especially in kind of galvanizing the young people of America,
yeah.
To be able to be more bold in speaking conservatively. But more than that, you know, I think what made Charlie unique is the fact that he was not shy about his faith at all.
Yep.
Every time I've ever heard him preach the gospel, which is a lot. Anytime I've ever heard him preach the gospel, it was shared very well.
Yeah.
And biblically, and the ways that he engaged people on in his open debates that he would do on campuses. From what I saw, if you watch not the snippets, but if you watch, you know, and you know the entire videos, what you see about Charlie is, and what I admired about him is that he was actually very respectful,
yep.
which is not the caricature that the other side's trying to paint right now. But not only was he respectful towards those that he was talking with and sharing the truth of what God's word actually says, but you know, he seemed to have a very biblical understanding of anthropology, of understanding that even though the people he was speaking to, he disagreed with,
yeah.
or that he was debating with, he vehemently disagreed with, he still spoke in a loving way and still, you know, supported them as humans created in the image of God and still loved them in that way and expressed the truth of God's word. And so, you know, he's somebody that I've admired for that reason.
Yeah.
And I know you have similar feelings about him.
Yeah. Sadly,
yeah.
I knew more of his intellect and mm-hmm. I would say his ability to reason and think and kind of quick on his feet.
Yeah.
What I didn't know till after the fact is there was a lot of compassion and a very sound commitment to you're created in the image of God.
Right.
And what's best for you is God's word,
right.
God's design
right.
for you, and Jesus.
Yeah.
And how well he did that. Because I think I did watch a lot of, like you said, clips.
Mm-hmm.
And so after this, I was like, okay, like I need to understand more. So I watched like full thing. I'm like, wow, he's delicate. He's mm-hmm. gentle. It's like the things the Bible tells you to be.
Right.
And I can't say that I knew that before.
Yeah.
And so that was very like touching to see.
Yeah.
The care. And then to see his wife kind of back that up,
mm-hmm.
that he was that man at home.
Right.
And to see his friends say, like, no, he was that kind of friend that cared about God's word, that
yeah.
cared about them living according to God's word, him fathering in a way that a man of God should father, and mm-hmm. to be a husband the way the Bible. So it's like, wow, like he wasn't just saying it as like a hook. Not that I thought he was,
yeah.
but you know, you never right. know sometimes.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, all these interviews are popping up of witnesses to mm-hmm. his character, mm-hmm. and I was like, "Wow, there's so much more to this than I realized."
Mm-hmm.
But I was always an admirer of taking a stand right for the gospel, talking to people face to face,
right?
Going to where people are,
yeah,
and being willing to converse with them. I don't think I understood the depth that like he really did want people to know Jesus.
Yeah, he did. He did.
And that was cool.
That is cool. And, you know, I think both of us share the same fear in having this conversation right now. And
absolutely.
That by us saying that we appreciated what he stood for and that we, you know, appreciated his message, I think a lot of people initially are ready to turn us off because they're assuming what we're saying is that we absolutely fundamentally are bought in politically to everything that he was about. That the greatest thing about Charlie Kirk was his politics and everything he's done for the Republican Party and everything. And that really this is a political message that you and I are making right now.
Right.
I just want to be clear. It's kind of the opposite is true. I think what you and I appreciate the most about him is the fact that he was a brother in Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
Who believed and who took God at his word.
Yeah.
Who understood the gospel and preached the gospel boldly. And not only that, he was silenced essentially for speaking up for the truth of what God's word says and how it's applied to American culture.
Yes.
You can disagree with a lot of his politics, but still appreciate the man.
Yes.
And the fact that he was a brother in Christ who stood boldly for the Christian faith, who stood boldly for biblical Christianity, who stood boldly and proclaimed the gospel frequently. And I think that's the piece that you and I latch onto the most is that piece, is that what we've literally witnessed here, and we were sharing this beforehand, is, at no point in our lives, we're both 43.
Yeah.
4 days apart, actually.
That's right.
We're both 43. At no point can we really point to a prominent American Christian who has been silenced for speaking the truth like this.
Not happened.
And so this is a profound moment.
It's very profound.
In our culture. And so where a lot of people see this as a political motive, and certainly there are many elements to that.
Yeah.
More than anything, what I see is a brother in Christ who was just assassinated for speaking the truth.
Yes. And I think the fear is, you know, I want to use my freedom in America to the best of my ability to promote Christian values.
That's right.
And so we will get passionate about abortion, that it's wrong, it's murder, that marriage is between a man and a woman, that you are the biological gender that you were born with, right? But these are biblical values.
These aren't strictly political things.
Right. Yeah. But I'm not going to passionately preach or come on a podcast and talk about should we tax the rich?
Right.
And should we have, tax, what is it? Taxing owning a home, you know what I mean? Like, should we have that? Should we have income tax? Like, what percentage? And like, I'm not, those things matter and I get it.
Sure.
And do I want things that are beneficial? Sure. But the passion, this is what I'm getting at, the passion and the this matters to its core is when it aligns with the Bible.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's when we will stand up and say, yeah, we're going to vote on that, but it's not because of a political party. It's because that's what the Bible tells us.
It's because it's the truth as God has revealed it.
And, and the thing I liked about Charlie is he wasn't just saying like, hey, transgender's wrong. And I think sometimes people, and I talked a little bit about this on my sermon on Sunday, is, you know, 1950s America would agree. But the reason they agree is because they don't like it. It makes them feels nauseous in their stomach when they see it.
Yeah.
It makes them feel disgusted, right? And so there's like this hatred for it that has nothing to do with God's word,
right,
God's design, and God's purpose.
Right.
What I liked about Charlie is I saw him talking to a transgender, I think it was a boy dressed up like a girl. And what he was saying was, hey, those pills are hurting you.
Yeah.
You're mutilating your body.
Yeah.
That's bad. That's going to hurt you.
Right.
And I believe what I want for you is to find happiness in the body God gave you.
That's compassion.
Right. That's compassion.
Yeah.
That's caring about the person.
Yes.
And it's saying that God created you a way and God didn't mess up.
Right.
And you can be happy and with what God gave you.
That's not a message that's rooted in American politics or one side of American politics, as much as everyone's screaming that at us right now. That's not an American politics issue. That is a reality.
Yes.
Core truth. This is what God's word says issue. And that compassion emanates from love. That response is the biblical Christian response.
Yes. And we want laws that uphold that.
Yes.
Right.
Ideally, that benefits our society the most.
And this is what I don't think people understand. I was listening to an interview of one of his friends, his mentors. I think it was Frank Turk, who's a Christian apologist. Mm-hmm. And he said one of the most memorable things he remembers Charlie saying to him was that politics are peanuts compared to Jesus.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like that's what we want to identify with, right?
That's so true.
Yeah. And at the same time, like, don't mishear, like, I love being an American. I'm blessed to be in America.
Absolutely.
But the reason I love it is I feel like we get to have these conversations. We get to talk about it freely. Mm-hmm. And I think that allows us to talk to so many people with so much opportunity. Mm-hmm. And it allows us to train missionaries. And it allows us to print Bibles and materials that help you understand the Bible.
Yeah.
And it allows it to go out. But at the same time, I know I'm not owed that.
Right.
Right. And I know there's Christians in China and Afghanistan and Iraq who don't have these freedoms, but yet have the same call mm-hmm. and the same job mm-hmm. to preach Christ crucified.
That's it.
Right. Yeah. Anywhere and everywhere they are. And there is a consequence to them that, like, we just don't understand. Mm. And so I don't want it to come off like we are owed those freedoms, but I do want to acknowledge that I enjoy those freedoms
and that
I benefit from those freedoms.
That is such an important point that you're making right now. I'm just going to pivot. This wasn't part of what I had planned, but
it's okay.
That is such an important point that you bring up, because I think that we have to also remember, you know, America is an experiment.
Not that old.
Just historically, we're like a toddler infant nation. You know, I mean, we're still a big grand experiment to see if, you know, the people really can rule themselves in such a way. And, you know, so that's all that is what it is. God knows what's going to come of all of that. But the point is that we don't typically see how it's a little complicated to mix Christianity with American culture.
Yeah, it is.
Living in a, you know, democratic republic, you know, mm-hmm. living in all these, it's, you know, it kind of runs into Christianity sometimes, and we don't always know what to do with that.
Yeah.
And I think one prominent thing that you're pointing out is that we can hold on to our rights.
Yeah.
The right to bear arms, the mm-hmm. right to free speech, the right to, you know, exercise religion freely, all mm-hmm. of these things. We can hold on to these as if this is the bread and butter of what we rest in.
Right.
Or that this is the foundation of my life. And when that happens, and when those things start to get shaken, we can come apart as Christians.
Yeah.
But the reality is, like you said, that's peanuts compared to what God has said in his word. I'm reminded of 1 Peter, where Peter's writing to Christians who are on the run. They've lost everything. They're mm-hmm. losing their rights as citizens. They're losing their rights, you know, left and right. They're literally running from Nero and they're spread out all over the empire right now. And very easily they could be shaking their fist at the emperor, and they could be, you know, trying to amass, if they had the numbers, you know, and go back and take back what was rightfully theirs. But the command to them instead is to honor the emperor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is nuts, because he's the one who chased them out.
Yep.
You know, to love the brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
To respect everyone, you know, and to fear God alone. You know, this is, it blows my mind that here are people who have been stripped of everything mm-hmm. politically, so to speak, and their lives upended for the sake of Christ, and yet the mission does not change.
It doesn't change.
They are to preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
They are to honor those who are in authority over them
and
show honor.
Yep.
They are to be submissive citizens. They are to, you know, It's just mind-blowing to me that as Christians, I think we can sometimes make an idol of these things and think that this is what we need in order to live Christianity, but the opposite's actually true.
Right,
And so regardless what happens, if one day we lose our free speech, if America collapses, if we you know, lose the freedom of religion and all of these things, our job remains the same. And
remains
it's not political.
Mm-hmm.
It's preaching the gospel. And it's making disciples of all nations.
The unchanging nature of the mission,
Yeah, Yeah, and I think that's such an important distinction to make for those who are listening right now, that's the big, big, big difference between being a Christian, versus being an American first, if that's the way that you view yourself.
Well, and, you know, we did, I think our last podcast was on Christian nationalism.
Yeah.
And the question is, you know, is this the very thing we talked about, or what's the difference? And I think the summary I try to go back to is, like, when Christian and American become synonyms, mm-hmm. that's when we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. And so that's the one thing I'd say I'd appreciate about Charlie. It was a Christian who lived in America,
right,
and wanted to see biblical values in his nation, mm-hmm. because he believed God's morals, values are what's best for people.
Yeah.
Right. And everyone benefits most when God's rules are put in place. Mm-hmm. And so we have a society that lets us vote on those things.
Right.
So why not try to have the most Christian values as possible? Like, that's good for people. But you can't divorce that from, they don't just need Christian values. Like, they need Jesus.
Right.
And to the degree people don't have Jesus, they're really going to hate his rules.
Yeah.
And so that's why it's so important they know why they need Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
And that was one of the things I liked, Charlie, is they were, because it always kind of started up here of, like, the a politic or an issue, and then it came down to, like, why do you believe that? Who told you that? Why is it important? And then someone flipped it on him, and he's like, well, why do you care what the Bible says, and why do you care? Mm. And he's like, well, because Jesus saved me, changed my life. And it was like, there it is.
Yeah,
that's it. I got changed, right? I got saved. And, like, and I want you to be saved.
Exactly.
And that's why it's important to me.
Yeah.
And even non-Christians, I think, when they're being objective, appreciate that principle. I'm not advertising this comedian, but it always stood out to me. Mm-hmm. I think his name was Penn and Teller.
Oh, Penn and Teller. Yeah. The magicians or illusionists.
Yeah.
And
I know
he's a famous atheist.
He's a famous atheist. Yeah. And this was his point, and I resonate with his point. He's like, how much do you have to hate someone to not share with them what you think could save their life? He's like, regardless if it's true, if you think it's true,
right,
wouldn't you do everything you could to try and save them from what you think would harm them?
So he'd be offended if you didn't share the gospel with them.
And so I think the analogy is, like, if I see a truck coming at you, if I love you, I'm going to yell at you, mm-hmm. scream at you, mm-hmm. and then, if need be, tackle you.
Right.
Right? Now, it doesn't matter if you see the truck, if you agree that there's a truck. The core is, if I truly believe it.
Right.
And he's taking that stance from a non-Christian.
Right.
Like, the loving thing to do is to warn and to make every effort. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where I see the fruit in what Charlie was trying to do, is he was trying to warn.
Yeah.
He was trying to help people think out of compassion and love. And I think that's what's been lost in America. Right? I want to convert because I'm right.
Right.
I want to build a camp. I want some type of cultural hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And if I can, you know, either make you look dumb, my hierarchy gets bigger, or if I can disprove yours, again, my hierarchy gets bigger. Mm-hmm. Instead of, like, no, like, what you're doing is harmful.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to be harmed. And that's what's hard too, is, like, you start looking at some of these newer, we'll call them immoral practices of, like, transitioning from boy mm-hmm. to girl. Mm-hmm. It hasn't lived long enough to really see the fruit of how evil it is.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah.
And there's going to be effects of that.
Right.
And so it's kind of hard because it's in its infancy. But there's even enough to where we're like, hey, you can't go back on this. And mm-hmm. this is life-changing and life-altering. And it's out of that heart of caring and compassion talking to people. Mm-hmm. And so it's like even atheists, I think, understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I appreciated about, well, Charlie was there's a true, these people need Jesus.
Yeah.
And to any law that will help, I want it to go forward.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. What do you feel we're seeing in America right now? Because I don't see compassion. I don't see a lot of seeking to understand or listening or any of those things. Like, what do you feel? I mean, it's nasty out there right now.
It is. So let me say it this way.
Yeah.
I think we're at a pivotal moment.
Yeah, a hinge point.
Yes. And I don't think it's determined.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think it's still got to play out.
Mm-hmm.
Because in one sense, I see, let's say, non-Christian liberals that are like, whoa, a father was just murdered.
Yeah.
A husband was just taken. And he was just going on campuses and talking to people. And they vehemently disagreed. And there's a part of them that's like, this has gone too far.
Yeah, we need to cool this.
Yeah, something has to change.
Yeah.
We can't kill a guy because he disagrees with us. And I think prior to that, to Charlie being assassinated, there was more agreement that hate speech. And here's what I mean by that is they would that's the problem in America. And us as Christians, what we're saying is hate speech. And I think what people don't realize, let's call it the unintended consequence, is when you are saying what we're doing is violence, when you respond in violence, it's justified, right? And so it was responded with, that is violence. I'm going to silence it. He is silenced. And they're like, whoa, that we didn't mean like that.
Right.
And now that you see a lot of people kind of backing off it and in their own camp saying, how are you okay with this?
Right.
How are you saying he deserved this?
Right.
And so I think that it's like, well, okay, now we're moving the needle, hopefully a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, it's chaos. There's a whole group that's like, he deserved it. Right. Like, this is what you get when you say hateful things.
And I think what's taking everyone by surprise right now is that the folks who are saying that are your next door neighbors.
Yes.
People are finding out it's their kids. It's their boss. It's their coworker. It's, you know, the people who they never dreamed would ever condone something like this are suddenly coming out.
Yep.
And saying the guy deserved it, or he had it coming, or what did he expect?
What did he expect?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what's shocking people more than anything is it's coming from the person next to you, you know, and it's, you know, I'm not sure people know what to do with that.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy. I was just researching and studying, and I can't tell you I can pinpoint when it changed, but I think you and I are old enough to say, and it might have not been totally true when we were growing up, but it was at least more like you could disagree civilly.
Yeah.
And
we can agree to disagree.
Yeah. And you could, and even like, I went to school with a lot of Mormons and some Catholics, some atheists. I had some atheist teachers and we disagreed fine.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a respect, I think, that I wanted to convert them and I respected that they wanted to convert me, you know? Yeah. I remember my biology teacher, he's like, you just feel like you're wasting your life doing it. I'm like, thank you for caring, but no, you know what I mean? And we would talk and he would come back to me like, so you really believe this, huh? You know? Mm. And we would just dialogue.
But he really wanted you to have, get the best in life.
He really thought I was wasting my teenage years, you know, and I could be out doing more fun, better things.
Right.
And so we just had like great conversation. And then I want to say even into our college years, I think that was still okay. Like college was the place where you could disagree and look at all sides.
I think we did disagree a lot. I mean, lots of those conversations.
And then all of a sudden it just got shut down.
Yeah.
We can't disagree. To disagree is to hate me, is to not want happiness for me. Mm. It's violent, it's criminal, and it should be prosecuted. Right. And it's like the gospel's been preached in America, you know, for over, what, 200 years or something America is, and and it was never violent, and then all of a sudden until the last, let's say, 10 or 15 years, and then all of a sudden, you know, some cities want to put restrictions on what can be said from the pulpit, and, you know, it changed.
Right.
And then as that, as Christianity became violent speech, conversation stopped, and there was no more dialogue, right? And I'm like, that was so harmful.
Yeah.
And that's what was refreshing about Charlie, is he was trying to bring back dialogue.
Yeah.
And conversation. That's
exactly right.
And I think, you know, I'm a big proponent of this, is the best conversations happen in the context of a relationship.
That's right.
Because the things that matter most don't get assumed in a negative way. Meaning, like, you know I care about you. That's hard with people you don't know. And it's like, well, you care more about your agenda, your ideals, your opinions. Where if we have a relationship, it's like, hey, you know I care about you. Yeah. Okay. And okay, but we disagree, but I know you care.
Right.
And I know you're passionate. And it's like, okay. And we can keep talking about that and think deeply, because it's like, you know, I disagree with the premise, but man, I love John. And I know John loves me. Maybe I should think about that. And why would John care that much about that?
Right.
And that's extremely healthy. And I think that's what's been missing.
Yeah, I mean, as you're saying that, I'm getting these feelings of Mayberry. Like, I you know, of how long has it been since we've really, since that's even been encouraged? And really, I think it's been since the advent of social media. Really, what and this is, anymore, I feel like talking about social media, especially to any young people who are listening, people probably our age and younger, who are listening right now, whenever I talk about social media, it kind of feels like I'm teaching a fish how to feel wet.
Yeah.
Like, as you've been, we've been in it for so long, we don't even feel it anymore. But the reality is, social media creates this really toxic environment, which I think we're all aware that it's toxic. There's good things about it.
Absolutely.
There's great things to share. Like any technology, there's great things, but there's also things to be wary of and to watch out for. And specifically with social media, I think what's happened is we've created this world where we can say anything we want without consequence, where for some reason it kind of operates on this mentality that every opinion is a valid opinion.
Right.
And it doesn't create an environment where we really understand each other or seek to understand each other. Instead, it creates an environment of sound bites where we can create caricatures of the people we don't like.
Yeah.
And that goes both ways. There are, you know, Christians are guilty of this. People on the right are definitely guilty of this, as well as liberals, people on the left, of making a caricature of somebody like Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And that's really easy to do when you take sound bites of what he says completely out of context of the whole conversation. And you're right. What I love most about what Charlie Kirk was doing was he was bringing face-to-face dialogue and reintroducing it into an age group and a culture where I don't know that they've ever had that before.
No.
Because they've grown up on social media, and they've grown up on this, in this toxic world of no consequences and you know, these you know, big opinions and conclusions that people are coming to without understanding.
Yeah, to put it this way, I think social media dehumanizes what's happening. And there's truth on both sides of this. An idea can be detached from a person.
Mm.
But what happens is when you detach the person from it, you are easily angered and you respond in anger.
Yeah.
And the anger is really at the statement.
Yeah.
But when you dehumanize it, it becomes at the person.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're having a conversation, it forces you to deal with both of those truths.
Yeah.
So it's like, John, you need to know I love you.
Right.
But that line of thinking is harmful, hurtful, doesn't align with scripture. But in no way am I saying John as a person should be looked at as dumb or lose any rights or be seen as less valuable as somebody else.
Right.
And so it forces you to deal with the issue and still love the person. Mm-hmm. When you take the humanity out of it, all of the anger you have towards the idea or the statement gets projected onto the person as well, because you're not seeing a person.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And so I think that's what was good about what Charlie was doing, mm-hmm. is I think people would have been way worse towards him on a screen,
yeah.
or paper. But when they had to look him in the eyes,
yeah.
and they had to actually talk out loud,
right.
and you could see people in the way they would respond.
Or even, you know, I've seen so many of those videos where they say, you know, something along the lines of like, I know you hate homosexuals and all that. And he's quick to say like, whoa.
Where'd you get that? Who said that?
You know, where do you, and then he gives his biblical definition of it.
Yeah.
You're created in the image of God. I don't care what,
yep.
you know, what sexual orientation you choose. Like, this is who you are. I respect you as a human, and I love you. And he would always go to it, you
yep.
know, and I want you to know Christ. It's a, you know, when people take the caricature that social media presented
mm-hmm.
and then put it in his face, and you get something completely, you know, different back, that kind of breaks down that whole.
Well, that's where you see world. Some people, they didn't know where to pivot.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's not the truth.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that's really important for people to hear, because no doubt there might be people who are listening right now and they really need to consider, as a believer in Jesus Christ, this simple truth that if we are held to account for every idle word spoken, we're mm-hmm. also held to account for every idle word typed.
Right.
And there are some people, probably a lot of Christians, who need to get off of social media,
right.
not just because it's feeding their minds with, you know, with soundbite garbage,
right?
Borderline truth at best. But more than anything, if they're incapable of following God's commands to let love be genuine, to bless those who persecute you, if you're incapable of being Christ-like with your words online, you probably need to get off of all of it.
Yeah, and that's where you and I were talking before, is like Ephesians 4:29 is so important.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
To not let unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, or I guess your fingers.
that's exactly right? right.
And to do that, what builds up fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And I think that's what I think Charlie did that I hope we learn from.
Yeah.
Is he responded.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't just sit silently, because you just want us to stay silent. And no, he did, but it was to build up.
Yeah.
Right? And in essence, it's tearing down the idea,
mm-hmm.
but trying to build up the person.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think somewhere in this podcast is a where do we go from here? Mm-hmm. Right? And
yeah.
so the where do we go from here is, how can we attack the idea but not the person?
Yeah.
Or how can we attack right. the false doctrine but not the person? And how can we tell the person, I love you and I want what's best for you, and
right.
what's best for you is Jesus,
right?
His word, his life, his purpose, right? His truths, all of those are what's best for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to engage you in a way that helps you see that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you want to be right. And you, no. I have to submit to God's authority as well.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, not only has it changed me, benefited me, I want it to change you and benefit you in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and help turn that corner. Because what ended up what's crazy is Charlie went from like a, and I'm making these numbers up, he went from like a million people knew who he is to like 10.
Mm.
Like, it just boom.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, now a lot of people have access to see, here's what a conversation looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it looks like to care about somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what it looks like to bring Jesus into what you believe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there's so much access to that. And I hope that becomes something that people really try to adopt.
Yeah.
In the way that they approach people, assuming they approach people.
Yeah.
Not screens.
Not caricatures of people.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And that's so important moving forward. Speaking pastorally.
Yep.
What do you hope our people, because really this podcast, I mean,
it's our people.
If you don't go to LBC, welcome. We love you. But
we do.
Really, this is for our people. This is for the folks who attend.
Let me address that. Because I think a lot of people knew why we were talking about Charlie Kirk.
On Sunday? Last Sunday?
Yeah. On Sunday, I made a special post.
Mm-hmm.
And some people, not a lot, to be honest, a few, but I think if there's a few, there might be more. Like, why would you say anything? Hmm. And I think as I was walking through the office, I had, hey, a junior hire text me this, high schooler,
yeah,
older person.
Especially the young people, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Even my own kids are like, hey, Dad, did you...
I learned about it from my son, my teenager.
Did you see what happened to the TikTok guy? And I'm like, TikTok guy? You mean Charlie Kirk? Like, yeah, I don't know his name. I just know the guy who made it. And so they knew about him.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, I called home and I was like, hey, hon, she's like, yeah, I'm on, you know, the couch watching it with our kids. I'm like, our kids are watching the news with you? She's like, yeah, they want to know.
Yeah.
And so there was a deep, I think, connection to a large group. And it's like, we need to help our people process this. And that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
Is how do we look at this?
Yeah. How do you pastorally, like, how do you want our people responding? Especially to those who would be celebrating right now.
Yeah. So. I think there's two things I think, man, I think of, well, there's three. One, I think of the shooter. I think Christ was very clear. You pray for your enemies. You pray for those who persecute. Like that guy needs Jesus.
He needs Jesus.
It's not too late. I pray someone in that prison shares the gospel with him. That he sees kind of where he was going, how far he would go, and it would be a wake-up call.
Yeah.
Two, to what you said, the people that think it's justified, man, they need Jesus too, right? Like that, they need to be prayed for. Would I disagree with them wholeheartedly? Sure. But I wouldn't want to, my main point isn't, see, it's wrong. It's like, wow, something is profoundly broken in you. We know this to be sin. Right? Sin
right.
nature.
Right.
And you need Jesus.
Yeah.
For you to find comfort and solace in a man's death, to find comfort and solace knowing that these little girls don't have a dad.
Right.
And that this woman doesn't have a husband.
Right.
Something is profoundly broken in
you. Yes. That's right.
And my heart isn't for you to become politically aligned, it's that you would find Jesus.
That's right.
Because you're finding comfort in evil things.
It's indicative of a much worse problem. Fundamental problem.
Yes. And so for our people, those people need Jesus. We pray for them and we want to engage them in a way that says, how can we talk to you about Jesus? Not, don't talk to me, you're a liberal.
Right.
Right. Not, you deserve to die, right? Like counter and come back over the top. That's why we need to get people like you out of America. You know what I mean? Like these are ungracious and missing. It's like, no. We immediately need to talk about, you know, why do you think that's okay? And where does your belief that murder is okay? You know, and right? Like kind of like we saw Charlie, you start up here and say, okay, so you essentially need Jesus. And I would love to talk to you about that. And actually, why did Charlie do what he did? Why would I do this with you? Because Jesus saved him. Jesus saved me.
That's right.
And I really believe you need Jesus to save you as well.
Yeah, that's it.
And so that would be my hope pastorally. And then I said there was three things. There's probably four. So the third thing, you know, Romans, I think it's in Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And it's okay to mourn, you know. And when you hear Charlie's wife talk, Erica, like, it's hard to not want to, like, wow.
It's really hard.
It's really hard to think of those little girls. It's really hard. And I think we're built to mourn death, you know, to value life. And to the degree that there is no part of you that cares, that's concerning.
That's very concerning.
Right?
And
even though we know he's in heaven,
we
know the ones here that loved him are in a very hard place. So it's okay to mourn that. But at the same time, I'm looking at how is his wife handling this? And I'm like, wow, very biblically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's in heaven.
Right.
I hope you're in, right, enjoying heaven. And she understands that. And I'm like, wow, that's profound.
Right.
But then there's also this part that's like, but like the mission goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for our people, it's, I think there's two sides to this last point is, one, don't be afraid. Yes, there could be consequences to sharing your faith, evangelizing the lost.
Mm-hmm.
More so than we've seen in a long time. For America, this is like brand new.
Right? Yeah, that's true. Right?
Like, it's so brand new.
That's true.
Other countries, like, constant threat, pressure.
Yeah.
But here, this is like, this isn't just you might lose your job, you might get kicked off a sports team. This is like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
ending, life mm-hmm. ending. So don't be afraid, right?
Yeah.
Heaven's your home. You're never embarrassed about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Take every opportunity. So I think that's part one of the mission continue. Don't be afraid. And then point two in moving forward is reconsider, like, how can I care about people mm-hmm. enough
mm-hmm.
to talk through the hard things with them?
That's good.
You know, because I think sometimes, and I fall prey to this. It's like, mm-hmm. if I'm going to a family function, it's like, I don't want to fight. I don't want to debate. You know, I want to eat my pumpkin pie and, you know, and, you know, watch a football game and have
right.
fun.
Right.
But I always have this nagging, you know, well, no, but like, what's going on in that person? It's like, okay, mm-hmm. you know, it's a fight sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
And it's like, okay, no. Like, maybe God has a conversation for me and I need to be willing to walk through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always blown away. And it's like, I'm so glad I was there. And it's not because of the turkey or the pumpkin pie or the mm-hmm. football game. It's like that conversation, like, I hope it planted a seed.
Yeah.
I hope it turned a corner.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm glad we were able to do that.
Yeah.
And we were only able to do that because it got brought up. We weren't afraid, because there's all these fears, like, they might not like me, I might not get invited back, you mm-hmm. know. And it's like, but that risk is worth it,
because mm-hmm.
you want them to know about Jesus,
yeah,
and their need for Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so how can, at a time of evaluating, is how can I not shy away from that,
mm-hmm.
do it respectfully, do it with love, but do it with in mind that they need Jesus.
Yeah.
Not to right. be one to an argument.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah. That's good. And I would even add to that too, for each person listening here, like you said before, this is kind of a hinge point.
Yeah.
This is a kind of a fork in the road, I think, for not just for our nation, but for ourselves as well. I think there's it's times like this when we're shaken up.
Yeah.
That really actually reveals what's going on in our own hearts.
True.
And it's a great opportunity to reflect in our own hearts, what's really inside of us. You know, Jesus taught in Luke chapter 6, Jesus talks about it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks.
Absolutely.
We would say it today that at the mouth, or that the hands type, that it's out of the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. In other words, what's inside of you is what's going to come out of you when you're shaken.
Yep.
And so the words that, even just taking stock for everybody who's listening to pause, and just take stock, if you're on social media a lot, of, you know, what has come out of you? What are right. the words that have come out of you recently? And is it making excuses? Is it just perpetuating a worldly mindset?
Yeah.
I mean, is it outright hateful? Or are the words that have come from you life-giving? Are they the truth of God's word? Whatever is coming out of you is a great indication of what's in your heart.
Yeah.
And if it's been ugly, you need to hit pause.
Mm-hmm.
You need to hit pause, and you need to open your Bible, pray, reach out to one of us. We would love to help counsel you through that, of how, you know, we can help. There are some things that need to be repented of.
Yes.
There.
And healed,
you're not to do that alone.
Mm-hmm.
That's why God gives you the church. That's why he's given you his spirit to convict you in these ways. But this is a great opportunity to say what does come out of you, when you're shaken during these times, because that's a good indication of what's inside of you, even if it's fear and anxiety.
Yeah.
There's a level of fear and anxiety that, you know, I think hits all of us to some degree. It's kind of uncertain, but if that's what's driving you and you're just panicked and you're all... something's wrong there. There's something that is in your heart that
yep.
needs to be surrendered to God. And it's times like this that are just a good way of taking stock mm-hmm. of what maybe we've allowed ourselves to stray into in our hearts and in our minds.
Yes.
Well, let me just wrap up with this. Some scripture.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Coming out of where you were, Romans chapter 12. Mm-hmm. Regardless of what our political climate is,
yeah.
regardless of what we face, regardless if all of our rights are stripped away from us, this is how God's word commands his children to live.
Right.
Romans 12, 9, let love be genuine. Mm. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Mm. Love one another with brotherly affection. Mm. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, but fervent in the Spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Be constant in prayer. Mm. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Mm. Bless and do not curse them. Mm-hmm. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Mm. I think that's a good reminder for the whole world right now.
Amen.
But especially for God's people.
That's the mission.
That has never changed. And even now it does not change.
Doesn't matter who's in charge,
right.
What rules change.
Right.
If we're at war, at peace, that's the mission.
Amen. Amen. Well, Eric, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for talking through a hard thing with me, man.
It is a hard thing. There's a lot more we could say on the topic, but I think that's enough for now. It is our hope. I hope, dear listener, you hear this, that it is our hope that we would respond in all ways biblically, mm-hmm. that we would respond with compassion mm-hmm. to those who we disagree with. Even if you find yourself on the other side of things, there's still the need at all times to respond with compassion and mm-hmm. with love and in a way that is honoring to Christ. But we just wanted to take the time just to set the record straight. And
yep.
If there are those of you out there and you take offense to what we're saying because you've bought into the caricature of the man, I would strongly encourage you to get away from the sound bites, go online and actually listen to an entire exchange. Mm. I would highly recommend that you get away from the sound bites and go listen to the man speak and mm-hmm. as he is as a whole, to listen to an entire message, mm-hmm. to listen to an entire debate, because what comes out of that is what the sound bites don't show, which is
yeah.
compassion, love, a biblical understanding of mm-hmm. God's love for everyone, and the gospel more than anything. And so I just strongly encourage you to go see the real man. And for those of you, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on politically and all of those things, that's irrelevant. We are all to seek understanding with one another. Before you make judgments, learn to listen to each other,
yeah.
to genuinely listen to each other so that you can better apply the gospel to somebody's life. But more than anything, don't lose the humanity
yeah.
of the people that you are engaging with and talking with, regardless of where you stand politically. That's just honoring to Christ.
Yeah.
And we see that demonstrated in the life of Christ with his compassion. And even though he spoke the truth boldly. Mm. Well, the LBC podcast is a ministry of Laurel Glen Bible Church here in Bakersfield, California. We are a family of believers following Jesus together. LBC is a family that is committed to rich Bible teaching and Christ-centered worship. We believe that God's word is sufficient for all of our issues. Regardless of what you're facing, we want to welcome you and remind you that you are not alone and that God's word never, ever fails. So every Sunday, we gather at 8:30 and 10 a.m. to worship and to hear a faithful message from God's word. And we encourage your kids to even worship with us in our services, so bring the kiddos. During the 10 o'clock hour every Sunday, we have kids' classes and adult classes that will help you grow deeper in God's word and connect better with God's people. If you want information on this and so much more, or just want to get in touch with one of us here and have a good conversation, you can contact us at laurelglen.org. And until we see you again, God bless you.